Good morning. This is Kevin Woolley, Minister of Music at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church. We'd like to welcome you to our morning worship services with Pastor Bruce Rudd.
If you're able to stand for the reading of God's Word, we'll be in Judges. That's the seventh book in your Bible. And the title of the message today is Called to Make a Difference. And we're going to look at verses 11 through 22 and what it means to be called and to make a difference. And I pray that that's your goal in 2019, is that God would use you to make a difference in whatever He has in store. Only He knows that at this moment. Look at Judges chapter 6, and let's start in verse 11. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress, in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Gideon said to him, "O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Verse 14. Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" So he said to him, "O my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." And the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man." Then he said to him, "If now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talk with me. Do not depart from here, I pray, until I come to you and bring out my offering and set it before you." And he said, "I will wait until you come back." Verse 19. So Gideon went in and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread from an ephah of flour. The meat he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and he brought them out to him under the terebinth tree and presented them. Then the angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock and pour out the broth," and he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put out the end of his staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread, and fire rose out of the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread, and the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Now Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. So Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And God, we pray this morning that you would apply it to our heart. And Lord, we pray that we too, like Gideon, would listen to the voice of God. And that, Lord, that the opportunities that you put before us in 2019, Lord, we pray that we would be obedient to do your will. And Lord, watch all of the good things you have prepared for us when we obey you. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, we've been called to make a difference. And it reminds me when I was pastoring in Mahia. You know, pastors get called for all kinds of things, and I've built dog houses and put up gutters and just done about everything you can ever imagine as a pastor. Well, this lady in our church called me, and she said, "Bruce, you got to get over to my house right now." She was deathly afraid of snakes. And what she didn't know is I, too, am deathly afraid of snakes. And she said, "You've got to get over here right now. There's this biggest copperhead I've ever seen on my back porch." And so I had to pray real quick. "Lord, I'm the weakest in my family, and you know how afraid I am of snakes." And so I'm praying, and I said, "I'll be right there." And I get there, and I didn't really have a plan of attack when I got there. And so we go out on the back porch, and she said it was right here. Now, there's all kinds of toys for the grandkids and different things out there on the porch, and it's a hot summer day. And I'm looking around for this snake. And I'm determined I've got to kill this snake on her behalf. This is what I'm supposed to do. Been called to make a difference for this lady and kill that snake. And I could just think, you know, these kids, these grandkids go to play in this toy or that toy and that snake bites them and I'd never live to, it would bother me the rest of my life. So I began looking for that copperhead, but I didn't want her to know that I was fearful. She was, let me tell you. And I finally find that copperhead, and when I do, I don't know who got scared the most, me or the copperhead. I was down pulling some stuff out away from the edge of the house so I could look at a distance. And I had something I was using, and I'm pulling stuff away from the house, and here comes the snake right towards me. I jumped up and bolted. My fear became obvious before all. And she said, "Are you scared of snakes too?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am." I said, "If you got a shovel, a hoe, anything, shotgun, pistol, I don't care what it is, anything." Well, long story short, I ended up killing that snake. But I always remembered that, you know, fear is what keeps us from being obedient. I could have said, you know, "You might want to call the song leader. call somebody else. Don't call me because I'm scared of them too." But when we step out of our shells and we obey God, it always pays off. There's always a blessing when we do. Look at verse 11. And I want you to see this. In fact, you can see it on your outline. And difference makers encounter the Lord Jesus. Now, you don't want to forget that. I can't stress how important this is. Difference makers encounter the Lord Jesus. He says in verse 11, "Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites." Now, what you've got to see is this. Here's Gideon. Gideon says, "I'm the least of my clan." In fact, he's saying, "My clan is the least of all the tribes of Israel." And he's saying, "In my family, I'm the least of the clan of our family." And Gideon is, at this point in time, he's just like me and you. He's nobody different than me and you. And Gideon is in a winepress. They've been impoverished because of the Midianites. The Midianites have come, and the Bible says they would come in like locusts. They would wait till Israel had its harvest, and it was harvest time, and then here they would come. They would take their grain. They would take their flocks. I mean, they would literally just raid Israel, and it kept them in tremendous poverty. They were hungry. And so here we have Gideon and Ophrah. Now, that's important too, because when you're threshing wheat, you kind of need a little bit of wind. And the name for Ophrah, what that means is literally no wind. And it was placed between, it was a valley between two mountains, and the wind typically went over it. So when you threshed wheat, you typically had a threshing floor up high where the wind would blow across it. But instead, Gideon is in the wine press, and he's got a handful of wheat, and he's trying to thresh it so nobody will see him, and he's doing it by himself, hiding from the Midianites. And so there he is, and he looks up. Now, at this moment, he doesn't realize who the angel of the Lord is. Now, we've studied it before, but the angel of the Lord is a Christophany. And a Christophany is where Jesus, the Word, appeared in the Old Testament. And so what we have right here in verses 11 and 12 is we have an angel of the Lord. We have Jesus Christ, the Word, encountering Gideon. Now, it's real important to catch this, because any great work that's ever been done for God has always been done by an initial encounter with Jesus Christ. Whether it was an encounter with Jesus in the Old Testament or an encounter with Jesus today, you say, "How do I encounter Jesus today? How does that happen?" Well, today we encounter Christ by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit said, "He will take of what is mine." Jesus said, "He'll take of what is mine, and he will declare it unto you." And so what is the role of the Holy Spirit? He glorifies, he convicts of judgment, sin, and righteousness, and he glorifies Jesus Christ. You want to say, "How do I know the Holy Spirit's working in my life?" Well, it's real simple. Am I exalting Jesus in my life? It's that simple. If you say it's the Holy Spirit, but there's no desire or no thoughts of Christ or no desire to worship him or exalt him or obey him, test the spirits and know not whether it's of God, because it could be a different spirit. Because the Holy Spirit always leads us to a place to encounter Jesus Christ. That's his role. That's what he does. And so he gets to this point, and Gideon hears from God. And look at what he says in verse 13. Gideon said to him, "Oh, my Lord, If the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? Now that leads us to our next point. You encounter Jesus Christ first. That's the first thing that God does when he's speaking to our heart to obey him. The second one is this, and I think this is where we always get messed up. We've got to accept God's perspective by faith. Because our perspective is always wrong. We look at ourselves and we see all of our failures. We see how low we really are. Matter of fact, I'll tell you who I'm scared of, more scared of than even a snake. It's myself. I'm scared of myself apart from surrender to Jesus Christ. Because apart from surrender to Jesus Christ, I can be dangerous. Set a chocolate pie out there on the table and I'll show you what I'm talking about. Apart from the Spirit and apart from Jesus, we're dangerous. Why? Because sin lies at the door when we're not surrendered. And that's for every single one of us. None of us can operate apart from Jesus Christ and surrender to him and not be exempt or insulated from the power of sin. We have to watch out for it. And Gideon saw himself for what he was, and God had to change his perspective so he could see himself for what God had called him to be. I mean, my goodness, the Lord starts out and calls him a mighty man of valor. Look at it in verse 12. He says, "The Lord is with you, mighty man of valor." I got a feeling Gideon did what we would have done. He probably looked around and said, "Is there somebody standing behind me? I'm not a mighty man of valor. I don't know who you are, but I think you got the wrong guy. I'm sitting here with a little handful of wheat, and I'm hiding from the Midianites, and I'm in a wine press threshing wheat. I'm certainly not a mighty man of valor." That was Gideon's perspective of himself. Look at what he says. He goes on to say in verse 13, he says, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us," now he starts looking at their circumstances. "Why then has all this happened to us?" Have you ever done that? Then he's looking at, if the Lord is with us, I hadn't seen any miracles lately. What's Gideon doing? He's looking at his perspective. He's saying, "And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?" Now I can answer some of this right here. Because there's a pattern in the book of Judges. And one thing you'll see is you see salvation or deliverance. Then you see where they rock along and they do pretty good for a while, especially when God raises up a judge. And they do pretty good. And then it goes in that circular cycle. Then it goes into sin. So here's salvation, here's deliverance. And then they fall back into sin. And then it's not long. They're praying, "Oh God, deliver us." Because now they're just being oppressed and persecuted. And they're saying, "God," they're crying out to God, "God, deliver us." So he raises up another judge. He raised up 12. And then he delivers them by that judge, and they repent and they change. And then it's not long that judge will pass away, and you can read it every single time when you're reading through Judges. And then here they come again, and they're right back in sin again. And it's this never-ending cycle of salvation, sin, supplication, salvation, sin, supplication, salvation, sin, and it just continues to go in a cycle. That's why they're not seeing all the miracles, even though the miracles are there. That's why it's different for the fathers, because they have forsaken God and they're worshiping the Baals and they're worshiping the idols and they're worshiping things that don't please God. And you know what God does whenever we turn away from him in our lives? He'll test us. And he'll bring things into our life or things about us to test us to see. And you can see that in the book of Judges. To test us to see whether or not we're going to worship him. To see if we're going to compromise his word or compromise our convictions. He'll test us. And why does he do that? Because he loves us. The Bible says that, in fact, the Bible says in Hebrews that if we're without chastisement, we're illegitimate, not sons. You know, it's not easy to be chastised by the Lord. But it does remind us of this one thing. God, you still love me. God, you hadn't forgot about me. And Lord, I need to turn. I need to change. And so here's Gideon and his perspective. He feels that he's a failure. He feels that he's the least. He's wondering, why in the world would you come to me? I'm the wrong guy. And then he says, "But now the Lord has forsaken us." He's looking around at the nation. "And delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." look at verse 14 because I want you to start seeing how God begins to change Gideon's perspective. And then Gideon has to come to a point, and so do you and I, of accepting that perspective from God. That's why the Word of God is so important. I don't know what everybody has New Year's resolutions, or some do. And I have a few that I do every year. And this year, for 2019, one of my resolutions, I want to spend more time, longer periods of time in prayer. And spend more time praying. I want that to be a change that I make in 2019. That my prayer time gets even better than it is. Because I've learned through life and through the Christian experience that the Christian experience is very frustrating if you're not praying. Because what God does when we pray, God adjusts our minds to His mind. He adjusts our thinking to His thinking, and He begins to change our perspective. Now watch what happens in verse 14. Then the Lord turned to him. Now God's not swayed at all by what Gideon just said. He didn't say, now notice right here in verse 14, you don't see the angel of the Lord, you don't see Jesus going, you know what, Gideon, maybe you're right. You know, you're this sorry old guy, and yes, you are a failure. But you know what? Gideon was in a place to be used. For when I am weak, that's when I'm strong. Because it took humility. And so the Lord says, turns to him and says, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? Now, a decision has to be made in Gideon's heart. And Gideon starts struggling right here, and we can see the dialogue in his heart in verse 15. So he said to him, oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. You see, there's three, since we started in verse 14, we see Jesus, the angel of the Lord, bringing encouragement where Gideon felt defeat. Look at verse 17. Then he said to him, if now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talk with me. And then verse 18, he says, do not depart from here, I pray, until I come to you. Now, I don't think Gideon intended and understood what he meant so much when he said, I pray. But I want to tell you, he hit a note right there. Because verse 18, where he says, and I pray, don't leave me. I pray until I bring out, and he wanted to bring out, it was customary to do this, and bring out the meat and the offering to the angel of the Lord. And he's not fully understanding yet that this is God. He just knows it's something special, maybe a prophet. He's not real sure. Verse 19, so Gideon went in and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread from an ephah of flour. Remember, they're in poverty. The meat he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot. And he brought them out to him under the terebinth tree and presented them. Now watch what happens in verse 20. The angel of God said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock. Now Gideon is beginning to obey the instruction of the Lord. God's been giving him instruction over and over and over, but Gideon's argued with him because Gideon keeps looking at himself and Gideon keeps looking at his circumstances. But now he falls into line with the Lord, and he starts obeying, and he does it. The Bible even puts it in there in verse 20. It's the last four words, and he did so. It's real important. Then in verse 21, then the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread, and fire rose out of the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread, and the angel of the Lord departed, wham, right out of his sight. I think that got Gideon's attention. And matter of fact, look at it in verse 22. He says, alas! In today's vernacular, he said, wow! Oh, man! Awesome! He says, alas, oh Lord God! He addressed him as God. He realized, I have just been in the presence of God. He says, for I have seen the angel, capital A, of the Lord face to face. That's what he experienced. He had an encounter with Jesus. He had to accept his perspective by faith. You say, did he? We'll get more into that next week, but let me explain a little bit of how he did. You know what he ends up doing next? Because his family, perhaps himself even, had been worshiping the idols. They had been affected by the culture. They had compromised God's word and accepted sin as if sin was okay. And I'll tell you, we're being more tempted in this generation and in this day to accept sin, to just get along with sin, because it's not politically correct to call sin, sin anymore. But I tell you, God says it's sin. And if God says it's sin, it's sin. He comes to this point and he has to go and tear down the image that they worshiped. And he's afraid of his own family, so he goes at nighttime and he gets 10 men together. And they cut down, they take an ox, and I guess they use it for a big tractor. And they pull this statue down, this idol down, and it comes tumbling down. And they destroy the sacrifice, and they destroy the altar to Baal. And the next morning, everybody gets out of bed, and they go walking around, and they say, uh-oh, have you seen what happened up there on the hill? Something is wrong up there. Somebody has vandalized that wonderful place of worship. Somebody rats on Gideon. And Joash, his dad, finds out about it. And they said to Joash, you're going to have to kill your son. And Joash, God gives Joash wisdom. And Joash says, if Baal be God, let Baal deliver him. Let Baal judge him. But I'll tell you, Baal couldn't judge him because Baal was nothing but a wooden idol. And it was a demonic sexual idolatry sin that was taking place. And I'll tell you what, God blessed Gideon because Gideon began to obey. And you know what happens as you continue to read, especially as you go through chapter 7 and into chapter 8, you see something happening to Gideon that you didn't see in the first part of chapter 6. In the first part of chapter 6, we see Gideon in all of his weakness. We see Gideon afraid and fearful and scared and worried. And then as we go, we see Gideon infused by the Spirit of God. And we see Gideon becoming brave. We see Gideon becoming courageous. We see Gideon calling sin what sin is. And we see Gideon in love at the same time and in humility at the same time. He begins to obey the instruction of the Lord. And that's our third point, is pray, then act upon God's instruction. The Bible said in that last part of verse 22, and he did so. He says, I pray, and then he did so. Listen, whenever we have an encounter with the Lord, and whenever God is asking us to do something that we feel like we can't do, you know what tends to happen? We discover our shell. That's our comfort zone. And I can remember the first time that I went to the Amazon. It was in 2016 when Brother Danny called me. He said, Bruce, I don't really know what to expect from this trip. We're going to some tribes that perhaps have never heard about Jesus. And I got to tell you, a shell about 10 foot thick appeared around me suddenly. Comfort zone. Well, you know, there's a lot of work needs to be done right here in Lindale, Texas. Well, there's people that need to be ministered to right down the road. I don't need to go all the way into the jungles of Brazil. You see how Satan works? Man, I crawled off into my turtle shell. I was hiding. I didn't even want to find where you're supposed to stick your head out of that shell. I was like, oh, you know, there's plenty of work to do right here in Lindale, Texas. I've got 2 kids. You're going to send me off down there, and I don't want to go yet. I still got things to do. You see how those fears come? And the Lord began to tell me from his perspective, I've already sent you. I've already given the command in Matthew 28. I've already called you. You just got to trust me. But Lord, it's scary. I've never been over there before. You know how scared I am of snakes? Let a 20-foot python crawl up. Lord, I'll be in heaven before the snake has time to strike me. I mean, you start getting scared, and we start crawling off into our shells, and we stay right there. We stay in the shell. Now, that was a dramatic thing God called me to do, and I went, and man alive, I was glad I went. One of the best experiences, helped me more as a pastor than I think anything else could have ever helped. And then got to go last year. And then this year, we're presenting that opportunity for members of this church. But I want to tell you, 2019, you're going to be presented with opportunities. It may be a mission trip. It may be to help in a particular ministry within the church or to help with a Sunday school class, or perhaps to teach. It could be a number of things that God is going to put before you in 2019. And you're going to do just exactly what I did. You're going to first look at your failures. And you're going to see your fears. And you're going to be tempted to crawl into your shell. And you'll miss all that God had planned for your life every time you say no. I tell you, there's one thing I'd never have regretted, and that's the times I've said yes to the Lord. So what do we do when God calls us? I fought the call of the Lord. I can remember telling Teresa, "Lord, I know the Lord's called me to preach, but I can't do it, Teresa. I've got too many anxieties. I have fear. I have nerves. I get too scared. I have stuff going on in my body that's never gone on before, and I don't even know why it goes on whenever God tells me you got to preach." Anxiety hits. I'm more one of them behind-the-scenes guys, not an in-front-of-people guy. I want to be behind-the-scenes serving the Lord. But that call to preach was still there. We were in Overton, Texas. I had a business, a plumbing business, and we were there, and a lady called me, and I wasn't asking for any signs, but the Lord kept affirming his call. And I knocked on this lady's door, and it was an elderly lady. Her gas meter had been pulled. I knocked on the door. And she comes to the door, and her first words, never met this lady before. She said, "You've been called to preach, son." And I looked at Mateo, my helper, and I said, "Do you know who that lady is right there?" "I don't know." And we go in, and she's not showing me anything about the gas system in that house. And she said, "Sit down." And we go into this little empty-looking kitchen. And it's got one of them small kitchen tables with the aluminum trim around it with that white Formica-looking top. And I pull my chrome chair out, and she has a chrome chair and pulls it out, and we both sit down, and she goes to praying for me. I don't remember all the rest of that job because that part stuck with me. And that happened time and time again. And I knew that the Lord was, I was walking on dangerous territory if I continued to argue with the Lord because of my perspective needed to be changed, and I had to accept it. And so I decided, well, Lord, I got to start somewhere, so I started teaching a Sunday school class. But we'd have invitations at the end of the class and everything. It's just like a church service. God calls the unqualified, then he qualifies them when they obey. You're going to be asked to do things in 2019, not by me or anybody else. It's going to be asked by the Lord. He's going to ask you to do things, and you're either going to jump in your shell and hide from the Lord, or you're going to say, "Lord, use me." It's going to be one of the two. And when you say, "Yes, Lord," it'll be the best thing you ever did in your life. I look back at the Amazon. I'm getting ready to go on my third trip down there this next year. And I've seen so many people come to the Lord and get to love on people and see that there's a different existence. It's not just like it is right here in Texas. There's different places in the world that are so different than what we're living in. And people need us to come to them and tell them about Jesus so that when we leave, they can tell others about the same Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray.
Thank you for choosing to worship with us via the radio today. Come join us anytime at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church.